You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Boy, howdy, that was annoying. Welcome to the 3DMs podcast. My name is Jake.
I'm Paul.
And we just found out that somebody who was sitting in our studio before did something not so smart and muted all the mics. So our 20 minutes of banter that we had previously are gone. But guess what? We're going to do it all again. We hope everybody had a wonderful and beautiful Valentine's Day. And we're gonna bring this show back and we're going to do it again.
So let's get moving. We're talking about the remaining classes, the spellcasters. You saw this coming.
Yep.
If you didn't, I'd be surprised.
All right. So we got Bard left. We got Sorcerer left. We got Wizard left. We're going to dive right into Bard. First things first, let's get some sexy facts out of the way about Bard.
So Bard started in first edition as a multi-class, quote-unquote, option, where you'd have to take multiple levels of fighter, rogue, and wizard in different proportions, or fighter, thief, and mage, I should say. Fighting man. In order to even enter Bard at all. As a result, it was something that wasn't done very commonly. In second edition, it kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. And in third edition, it came back as the poster boy for the half casters and as the actually balanced classes in third edition. As well as a support class in fourth edition. But here in fifth edition, it's finally joined the ranks of the full casters. And it's arguably one of the more powerful classes in the game. I consider it tier two. Jay considers it tier one.
Yes.
We're not going to get into a super deep debate on that one.
But. Yeah, we ain't going to fight about it, but we're going to talk about it. So first things first, and we already did this. I'm gonna try to get our original thing, our original copy out there because it was a lot better. Sorry, guys. There was a recording mishap on this episode, and we're pressed for time, so we're gonna be blowing through Bard a little bit here. But Paul and I both strongly and firmly agree that the meme culture has created a very negative view of Bard as just somebody whose sole existence is a very one-dimensional,
I roll to seduce.
I am a Lothario. My whole class, summed up, is the person who tries to fuck everything that moves.
And I think this is dumb. At best, it's a horrendous waste of a good class for a meme value among people who haven't played the class or treat it as a one-dimensional joke.
And, well, I mean, I get it because bards have done some ridiculous thing. Hell, even in my game, I had a bard roll a 35 on a persuasion check on a goddess, a minor goddess, granted, but still a goddess that he had been working on for a couple of months. Yeah, this happened, and there's a reason now that my Raven Queen is a baby.
No comment,
but hey, when you roll a 35 on a persuasion, sometimes you just have to go, all right, yeah. That being said, leaning into the meme too hard can definitely, I think, takes away from the class. I think it is a class that has a lot of merit and a lot of great stuff going on, and those are things that we need to be focusing on about the class. And so let's hop into Bard.
So when we're talking about session zero stuff, which is what we're doing today, is what do you do when you discuss
We got a couple of tasty facts to get out of the way,
right,
Paul,
well,
first. Tasty fact numero uno. According to the 538 survey of 1 month of character creation data from D&D Beyond, Bard is 10 on the list out of 12 of most popular class.
Ahead of Druid and who else?
It is ahead of Sorcerer, spoilers, and the Druid,
which
is apparently the least popular class in the game, at least according to this 1 month of data. and it's, you know, on one website and, you know, a little hard to extrapolate from, but, you know, you gotta move with what you got. Most popular variants of Bard that are played according to races selected to play them are half elf, followed by human, followed by tiefling, followed by halfling, followed by elves. Just straight up elves.
So that sounds like every race with a charisma bonus and then every race with a dexterity bonus.
Now, as
also human.
As a brief aside though on that, you know what really speaks to me about the information that I've just gleaned from looking at this site? This is just kind of a side thing.
All right.
Shoot. I find it really interesting that half elves are almost universally more played than elves. No, just as like a –
it's because half elves are really good.
They are really good, but more as a storytelling kind of device. It more just speaks that, yeah, elven parents sucked, but when they go out and they find themselves a nice other race wife, they can make a kid who is really capable of something. It just strikes me as hilarious that half elf gets or has to be fluffed in so much. But moving on, so. Bard stuff. We had a great thing going. We're going to try to pick it back up. So the thing about bards, we are not talking about your standard normal singer-songwriter person hanging out at the bar, getting paid just to be tonight's entertainment, the person who's spreading the news, bringing in rumors and gossip from other towns.
Not the town crier, not the singer-songwriter, not the night's entertainment. These people are capital B bards. And they know things and they can do things. They're really talented and they're so talented at their performing arts that they can do magic. Or their magic is spontaneous and they weave it in the form of artistic talents.
Yes. It's
one of the two, what's the word, spontaneous arcane spellcasters, the other of which sorcerer we'll also be talking about tonight. But we'll get to that in a bit.
Yes. So with the bard, you know, this is obviously we're talking session zero. We're talking how to make the world be better suited to them and so players can know what are going on. And the first thing I want to talk about with bards and the first thing that really sticks out is that, A, true bards are incredibly rare.
Well.
Or they are supposed to be. It depends on the slider in your game. Either there's, you know, if it's high magic, then yeah, there's going to be magical bards everywhere up and down the street. On the low end, there's going to be, you know, one or two of these maybe walking your setting.
You're right that the player's handbook says that they are not common and only rarely are they found in one specific place.
Yes, they are world travelers.
But I would not say they are incredibly rare so much as you see maybe one in a thousand or so.
I'd still call that.
Now we're getting into
semantics. So with the actual bards, with them real bards, the first thing you need to ask your player and the first thing you want to look at as a session zero would probably be a training question, as in who taught them? Why did they want to be a bard?
Is it a one-on-one apprenticeship? Did they teach themselves? Like did they play Wonderwall in their basement so much that they learned to set people on fire? Do they have the implication that the different subclasses of bard is there a college that you go to in order to learn bardic magic? And do they send you into a cave to fight Draugr to find a scroll instead of just teaching you how to play guitar?
That was a
Skyrim reference.
Yeah. I know that was a hot take on Skyrim. I just wanted to hear it from you. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, but the bard's college sends you to go stab some Draugr in a cave.
Yeah. Anyway. No. That's. Yeah, that's
one of their more questionable decisions. Anyway.
Anyways, so although that is one thing we definitely do agree on, that a College of Bards seems a little strange, but if that's what floats in your setting.
If they're not that common, then what kind of place of learning have they set up to actually teach this? Because as far as I can tell, wizards, at least in the base setting, are anyone with serious intelligence and memory can learn to become a wizard if you study for 30 years. And absolve all the pleasures of the flesh, you can learn to cast magic. But why would you do that when you can just play guitar and cast magic that way?
So
there's I feel the college is more of an abstract thing than a physical thing.
You know, it really depends. I mean, obviously there's real world musical colleges and artistic colleges that – and it would make sense that those places exist. But I definitely don't think that there is – again, it depends on your setting. For me personally, and I also believe you feel this way, that a college setup specifically do training magical ass bards isn't a thing.
Spontaneous guest. It seems more likely to me that most bards would be trained by a mentor figure. And obviously somebody's going to go in the comments and tell us that we're wrong. And I fully support that because it's entirely up to your creation.
But our opinion
but
of
I
the bard.
I feel like a journeyman and like an apprentice and master Sith setup, except with magical musicians, is more likely.
So to keep this boiled down to those initial simple points. So part one, you know, ask your player, hey, who taught you? Do you know who this person is? Do you want me to generate this person for you? Who was your initial teacher as a bard?
What's your connection to them? Do you still see them?
Yeah,
do you busk with them with the magical hobo act?
You know, there's a lot of great questions that can come out of that. So the next thing for you to try to impress upon your player for some thinking you as the DM for you as the DM to do some thinking on and you to impress upon the player is what is a actual big B bard? How are they viewed in the world? Because your standard bard is, again, just your performer, your town crier, your, you know, person who has a position.
Can't feed a family of four.
Wow, harsh take. They are a person who has a position of vocal influence, and I mean that very literally, where yeah. They are shouting things at people and people have to listen to them. Where the Big B Bard, as we have already discussed about the spell list of the Bard, is pack full of
mental manipulation.
Yeah, charm magics.
Disguise magics, dissonant – like even first level
enchantment.
You've got enchantments, illusions. You've got different ways to attack the mind. All of these things are things that would make people side-eye you as you walk down the street if they'd heard about one of them. Like, hey, I heard this person can make you think they're your best friend just by looking at you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that scare you a little? It scares me a little.
But the idea here is, though, is, and I don't want to lean back into the meme that we just rallied against, but simultaneously – Bard is definitely one of those classes that it can slot into any party. As Paul mentioned earlier, I think it's high tier one because it has a very robust spell list, has the ability to make itself a even more robust spell list by cherry picking from whatever class they want. They don't wilt in combat when they get hit, and
they don't start sucking on their thumb the second an orc with an axe comes running out.
Yeah, the second they get within melee range. And ultimately, they are a charisma-fueled class, and they have the jack-of-all-trades ability. And if you're
leaving aside the fact that their select skill list is any three, which is already pretty powerful. Just
yeah, and
any three.
You take college lore with half-elf, that you get 10 skills. Congratulations, you have 10 skills. They can dominate either any skill-based encounter or any social encounter. Bards are a terrifying class. And that paying into your world is something that authorities, local government, and even some people who might have had some run-ins with some bad bards who are good at what they do. You know, there is definitely high consideration to be made for how everybody around them would feel. Maybe some towns have, you know, they just love and respect magical bards, and that's great. But there are other towns that might have,
less charitable opinions.
Yeah. You know, somebody
of capital B bards.
Well, you know, somebody of influence could have definitely had a very bad experience. I mean, we've all seen the movie Footloose, or at least heard of it. And guess what? There's a priest who doesn't believe in dancing and he thinks dancing is bad. Guess what Kevin Bacon is? He's a dancing bard, baby. And guess what? This town don't believe in dancing. He's got to come in there and change opinions about dancing. Point is,
With dominate person.
And Kevin Bacon sex appeal. But the whole point is, he ultimately has to change perspective because other people had made dancing seem like a bad thing. And if we delineate that to other stories, you can definitely see how a bard, you know, bard did a robbery. Bard did insert shady thing here that bard did because he is a smooth talking motherfucker.
Who tends to be less on the lawful side.
Exactly.
The ethics,
you know,
scale.
There is, you know, so reminding your players and reinforcing your players that there is ultimately, you know, there are a lot of other bards out there, some good, some bad, and not everybody is going to like you simply because you're a charming motherfucker. That might turn them off. and having that negative stereotype to some people, because for some people that's a great stereotype, other people that's very negative, is going to be a very important thing to remind your players. So moving on with Bard, there's a couple of fun little questions you can definitely ask your players. And I think it's very important to how a bard actually functions, because as we were discussing on the ride here, a very interesting thing about bard is they actually are the most adventurous of any other class in the game. I know that seems a little out there, but hear me out. Warlock, fighter, warlock, paladin, every other class, cleric, most other classes with kind of an assigned thing, they have a mission. Yeah. Fighter, rogue, they're very open. Monk can kind of be off doing its own thing. Druid is very restrictive in the fact that it has to deal with its woods.
Creatures of the forest.
Yep. Wizards, we're going to talk about wizards and sorcerers in a second about why they might not really want to be adventurers. But a bard, guess what? A bard goes on a sweet adventure.
And they get a book deal.
They get a book deal. They get a press tour after this. All right. The fighter is going, well, money, loot, power.
All right, it's time for me to go get drunk for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, rogue, money, loot, power.
Paladin.
Justice. You know, paladin, justice. When it gets to the bard's turn of the table, he goes, book deal, motherfucker, press tour. You know, he gets to wander around the country. He gets to sell this to people. The bard has the easiest write-inable excuse to go on any adventure. And often, you know, telling your bard, you know, like finding out what they want to do with their aspirations, what are their aspirations, them going on an adventure is pretty easy. But then also ask them some hard questions about what they as a artist want to accomplish. This is
– yeah, if they're a bard, they're an artist of some sort. You can't just say, I'm a bard who doesn't believe in art, because if – what are you then? You're not anything.
Bards are ultimately, they are musicians, acrobats, actors, speakers, long-form storytellers, painters, and any form of artist. One thing I do love about Bard is anytime somebody twists that little trope of a bard just being a musician and kind of changes it to another form of art. Like I did read a great story about a bard who was a painter, you know, and basically Bob Ross that shit in combat.
Awesome. Thank you for welcoming me into your home today. This is a home invasion. That's what most Dungeons & Dragons adventures boil down to, is home invasion.
I'm just going to paint a nice phthalo blue. And you are now under my thrall. Fantastic. But ask them their artistic ambitions, because
what movement are they part of? What do they think of these other movements? What do they think of this tawdry display? What do they think of this setup?
You know, yeah, if you want to actually, that's a very good point. If you want to go like Renaissance with it, when things were, as far as art was, a much more philosophical and theological even debate at times, that's really fascinating. But at the same time, if you want to keep it very modern, you can go, how do you feel about Taylor Swift? You know, what exactly
do you think
you
of
feeling?
The Lepidarian movement?
Yeah, how do you feel about Eminem?
Do you think he's a hack?
How do you feel about...
You're going to get in a fist fight with this artist over drinks in a bar because you think he's a complete hack and everything he's done is stolen.
How do you feel about death metal? You know, these are legitimate artistic questions you can ask. And actually, one of my favorite questions to ask a bard player after I initially shit my pants over somebody competent playing bard is, okay, well, artistically, what do they hope to accomplish?
Are they trying to make the next big thing? Are they trying to get a big hit? Are they trying to express the truest form of their soul? Or are they trying to, you know, make genre fiction?
It's all under the realm of purview. So a couple of things to finish up with Bard before we move on to Sorcerer.
How pretentious do you want their art to be? No, okay, I'm done.
No.
It's completely incomprehensible. It's a book written only in a different character, in a different language.
I sell 25x25-inch screens covered in goblin blood that I place behind them and then I cut them. Creepy. But a couple of things I want to cover. So the different colleges highly influence what a bard is capable of.
Valar and lore are kind of...
Valor and lore of what we've been describing this whole time, glamour, swords, and whispers are vastly different and can cover a vastly different territory, and we're going to sprint through those really quick. Glamour is definitely more Feywild, just like...
They're dangerous, but they're not dangerous in the sense that Whisper Bards are dangerous, so they're going to be side-eyed, but they're not going to get run out of town on a rail like a College of Whispers Bard would if they exposed their college.
Yeah, Glamour focuses primarily on...
Awe.
Yeah, the idea of shock and awe, beautiful displays, and then kind of living off that energy, you know, kind of living off that hype. College of Swords is...
I don't want to be a bard. I want to be a swordsman.
Now, actually, what I do want to say about College of Swords, because means a lot to me, might not mean a lot to, you know, a lot of other D&D players, but for me, what I do love about College of Swords Bard is it gives you, if you're a big Final Fantasy fan, it gives you your red mage. It does. That is exactly to a T what College of Swords Bard ends up becoming. It is, they are not as good as a wizard, but they are not as good as a combat master or a battle master fighter, but they ultimately land right in between, and that is just perfect. And guess what? They're going to have a higher charisma score than both, so they're still going to be the one to talk to the noble dick. So, final thoughts. On Bard as far as character creation goes, remind them that they can be
something other than I roll to seduce. It's a very interesting class that's hampered somewhat by the
bards can be spies, politicians, lawyers, any
major governmental figures, town criers, celebrities.
Yeah, there is, you know, just more than, you know, being the guy who walks around and tries to fuck everything that has a guitar. You know, that trope is old and it's boring, and it's, you know, every time I have a bard player, I guess I'm jaded now to the point that every time I have a bard go and I roll to seduce the pretty lady at the bard, and that's all I'm going to try to do tonight. It's like, it's disappointing. Try to impress on them the fact that the
you
bard.
You are my brother, Anakin.
Yeah.
I loved you.
The bard can do so much. The bard can do so much. And it's so upsetting that it gets relegated to that role often, kind of just due to the memes. Ultimately, though, encourage an exploration of background and artistry. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff. I mean, if you've ever taken anybody who's not into art to a good art museum, you usually have great conversation and their eyes are kind of open to a new world. So, you know, do a little bit of research into music and art history yourself and, you know, and story, various stories, histories and plays and whatnot. And, you know, present them with some shit. See if you can change opinion and get them to just be something more than what is equivalently a frat boy with an acoustic guitar.
Playing Wonderwall.
Paul, the final thoughts. On Bard.
It's good. I like it. You should still carefully watch anyone who picks it, though, because chances are good they either don't know what they're doing or they do know what you're doing and you'll need to watch them twice as much.
Yeah, I guess that is one bit we kind of didn't cover really hard, but I just want to re-impress or put that fact back out there for fairly new DMs. A experienced player with a Bard is going to be a nightmare for your setting because they are going to be able to accomplish a lot. Don't say no. Let them. I mean, obviously,
just watch them.
Very I wouldn't say just watch them. It's well, this is kind of one of the hard parts about DMing, because having a bard come in and just kind of derail everything you got going can really suck. And I've seen a lot of forum posts and arguments about, well, the bard did this and now we're screwed. You know, my game's all messed up. I've been Henderson'd.
0.25. Anyway.
Yeah. But you know, when things like that happen, you need to try to just practice and learn to roll with those punches and find some realistic things to do.
Consequences.
Yeah. Realistic consequences to that bard's actions. And, you know, try to find a way to put them in a position that is actually still bad, even though they've pulled off all aces. If that makes sense, not in a negative way, but in a way that ultimately, you know, if they did something that was maybe a little sour to put them in a position, maybe the power isn't exactly what they wanted. Maybe suddenly, you know, this is a big
with great power comes great responsibility.
Well, goddamn, I was about to use that for sorcerer. But in a big example, you know, if they suddenly have seduced their way to the top of the ladder and now in charge of a city, guess what? Well, at first they thought it was just going to be drinking and eating and, you know, farting around. And now suddenly the
10 hours of paperwork.
Yeah, suddenly, yeah, paperwork is a problem. That's its own own little thing. Bard is good. Give Bard love. Please don't make Bard the
only love.
You know, only love. Like, let Bard be Bard.
Moving on.
Sorcerers. Paul, we got limited time on sorcerers. I'm cutting sorcerers so we can do wizard at full, which is sorry, sorcerer fans.
It's okay. Nobody loves sorcerer anyway.
Okay.
No, I actually do love sorcerer. It's a shame what we'll get to that in a second.
All right. So the sorcerer, the bard's best friend in debauchery. They are hands down, you know, aside from the bard, obviously, they are the most shenanigan-induced character, at least for me. I usually feel that because a very common trope that gets played by players, and not saying anything bad about it, but the bard and the sorcerer are usually a very sexy, party-going, bohemian-style, you know, just open, crazy animal
individual of
a character. Yeah. And those characters –
just because they've got high charisma as a major stat, and they've the paladin doesn't get away with – being a party animal for obvious reasons.
And the warlock is too busy being creepy. So
crawling in my skin.
Okay. Calm down. So let's get over some interesting facts about the sorcerer. They are the 11th least played class.
11th most played class. Yeah. They're not popular. There's a couple reasons for this. Is they were introduced in third edition as a sort of alternate way of spellcasting to wizards. Doesn't help that they kind of got horribly, they got their knees broken in third edition and they haven't really recovered from that since. The problem is that now everyone casts spells like sorcerers did. So now sorcerers are just hindered without any real benefit. So from a mechanical standpoint, it's not surprising that they're one of the least played classes.
Yes. Most popular races for sorcerer in the 5th edition, according to the 538 data we have, is human, half-elf, tiefling, dragonborn, and elf.
Dragonborn. That is an interesting choice.
Well, they do have charisma. The strength bonus is I mean, I guess you don't want to dump strength. And they do get to breathe fire out of their mouths, which is
useful.
Neat.
I wonder if it synergizes with the dragon draconic background synergy water.
Well, I mean, it would make a lot of sense too, lore wise. So, sorcerer, because we spent a lot of time and love on bard today, so we're gonna make this quick and we're gonna make this smooth. Session zero, you have somebody who wants to play a sorcerer. Very first question, you know, when you figure out what origin they're going to take is
– how far back is this origin in your bloodline?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Where do these powers come from? And a comparison that I really like to – I think it's a very favorable comparison for sorcerer and what makes sorcerer unique to the other 11 classes presented in the game is the fact that they are the one with a superhero origin.
And some way to put it.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, the fighter didn't come out of the womb with a battle axe in hand, just like, y'all ready for this? No, the, you know, the rogue didn't show up, you know, one day as
a surprise with neither of his parents knowing that he arrived.
Yeah, exactly. And was just like, hello, I'm a thief. No, sorcerer is the only class that has their powers, theoretically at least, from birth. They can get it later, they grow into it, or maybe a crazy experiment or accident happens.
It's the spontaneous caster poster child.
But they spontaneously, one day they didn't have powers, the next day they do. And they barely understand these powers, and there is so much. If you have a player who is struggling with how to write a backstory for their sorcerer, just don't be a jerk about it, but just send them Marvel Comics and DC Comic Wikipedias and just tell them just find something that works. Yeah. You know, you can be Superman, you know, born with powers and sent away. You could be like Doctor Strange, was in a terrible accident and then went and met with a bunch of people who taught him how to tap into sorcery.
That's more of a monk thing, honestly.
Well, it's more of a monk thing, but I do like – I think there is a little bit of synergy there that can actually work pretty well. And if you do want sorcery to be a learned thing, the Doctor Strange route's the way to go.
Yeah, we're going to talk a bit more in the wizard section about magic as a whole in session zero.
Yeah.
But we probably should have talked about that even earlier in this episode.
I think it's going to be a nice little cap note.
To be honest, I'm going to debate on this. Once you've decided your origin, like where your sorcerer's origin comes from, there's just